Hello everyone, my name is Muhammad Ali Javidian. I'm an assistant professor at Appalachian State University. Today I'm going to talk about the quantum causal inference in the presence of hidden common causes and entropic approach. This is a joint work with Dr. Vanit Agarwal and Dr. Zubin Jacob from Purdue University. I started this journey, research on the quantum causality, when I joined to the Purdue University as a postdoc. And this work published in Physical Review A, and this is the QR code that if you're interested in, you can download and read the paper. This work is actually inspired by Murat Kocoglu et al. NURIPS 2020, and we all enjoyed the Murat's talk. And if I want to recap again, the work is application of common entropy for causal inference, and the common entropy means here we are looking for a Z with minimum entropy in a way that Z makes X and Y conditionally independent. And as you can see in the graph, in this small diagram, we call it a latent graph. And the goal is to distinguish this scenario, latent graph, from the others from the right side, which is in all cases, X causally affect on Y directly or indirectly. In order to do that, we need to make some assumptions, because in causal inference, no assumption, no causal inference. So, and the assumption is the latent confounder is weak. That means the entropy of the latent confounder is small. In most cases for the latent graph. And as you saw, there is an iterative algorithm in the classical causal inference that can find Z in the classical settings. Inspired by this work, we thought about it that is it possible to extend this idea for the quantum systems? But there are some challenges, more than that you saw in the classical settings, some conceptual challenges and some technical challenges that I will explain it in the next slides. But the answer is yes, with some assumptions that we make, we are able to extend the idea to quantum systems. This is not the unique way that you can do it. This is the way that we came up with this idea how to extend it to quantum systems. Another interesting question is there any benefits when they extended this idea to the quantum system? Still, is there any benefit this quantum algorithm or quantum version of this idea for the classical case? That we tested our algorithm onto Bingham dataset, and we got interesting results that seems promising, and there are some benefits using quantum entropy even in the classical settings. And finally, I'll make a small comment about the why shouldn't map quantum cases settings directly to the classical and use the classical algorithm directly to solve the problems in quantum settings. I remind you the very famous, well-known theorem in causal inference, which is called the Reichenbach common cause principle, that says, simply, when X and Y are statistically dependent, there exists a third variable, Z, that affects causally on both on Zx and Y. In some cases, this Z coincide with X, or sometimes coincide with Y. But in the case that Z is different from X and Y, we have a graph like the directed acyclic graph that you can see in this figure. So, but the main thing is, even in this simplest case scenario, is not easy to distinguish between X is a cause of Y, Y is cause of Z, or Y is cause of X, or there is a Z, hidden Z, that is cause of X and Y, which is the main subject of this talk. And in the case that Z is a common cause of X and Y, Z conditionally makes X and Y independent. Or if I want to translate this in the language of DAGs, or directed acyclic graphs, make X and Y conditionally de-separated. So let's address and mention some conceptual challenges that we have in quantum systems. And it's not straightforward to extend the classical version of the algorithm to the quantum settings. And this problem is coexistence of quantum systems. And that simply mentioned that for a given causal structure, a coexisting set of systems means we have a joint state that and that joint state can be defined. However, in the quantum settings, due to the impossibility of cloning, the outcomes and the quantum system that led to them not always exist simultaneously. So this is not the problem in the classical case, because in the classical setting, we don't have the problem with the cloning, but that's a big problem in the quantum systems. If you know that if a system X is measured to produce Y, then we cannot define the joint density matrix of X and Y, and hence we cannot either define the entropy, the von Neumann entropy of joint density of X and Y. So in this work, we assume that the joint density matrix of X and Y is given. However, also this is another situation that how we can reconstruct the joint density matrix is a subject of research in quantum computing, which is called quantum state tomography. So our first assumption is that we don't have the coexistence problem, and the joint density matrix of X and Y is given in this work. In order to address the and talk about some technical challenges that we had, we need to remind ourselves the formalism that we have in classical probability versus quantum states. So, as you may know, in the classical probability, the probability distribution of X is shown as P of X. In the quantum states, we use the density operators or density matrix, rho of X. Also, in the classical probability, we have joint distribution, P of X and Y. In the quantum version settings, we have the joint density, rho of X and Y. In the classical probability, we have marginal distributions. For example, here, for the joint distribution of X and Y, when we marginalize out y, we get the probability distribution of x. We have the same idea, which is called partial trace in the quantum setting. And the rho of x is the partial trace of rho of xy when we trace out y. We can define the mutual information in both classical probability or information theory, also in the quantum information theory, the same idea. Also, we have Shannon entropy in the classical and von Neumann entropy, which is the counterpart of the Shannon entropy in the quantum setting. However, two main roles in this table that are, I'm going to talk about it, and makes a big difference between the classical probability and quantum states. One of them is the conditional probability versus conditional density matrix. In the classical probability, simply a conditional probability of y given x is defined as the joint probability of x and y divided by p of x when p of x is not zero. However, this generalizing this idea to the quantum setting, as I explained in the next slide, is quite challenging, and there is no unique way to define the conditional density matrix. The definition that you can see here is the definition by Liefer and Spekhans. And you will see there are some issues even with this definition. Another challenge, technical challenging is, as you can see in the one before the last row, conditional entropy. In the classical case, the conditional entropy always is non-negative, but this is not the case in the quantum settings. So you see that it's not straightforward to extend the ideas from the classical to the quantum. I just mentioned two main challenges that we had here, and let's see how we address them. Regarding the quantum conditional densities, there are many different ways to define the this concept. One of them is quantum conditional expectation. Another one is quantum conditional amplitude operator and quantum conditional states. However, there is a seminal work by Horstmann et al. In 2017 that they proved and showed that there is no way to construct a framework for quantum conditional densities that satisfy all of conditions that we want to have in that framework, such as hermicity, associativity, and other properties. Our choice of the quantum conditional states is based on the work done by Liefer and Spekhans in 2013. Very nice paper that shows how to build a quantum theory of Bayesian inference. So since it's pretty close to the Bayesian inference in the classical version, and I believe that was the simplest, and the time that I used it was the framework that made sense more to me. We selected this definition of quantum conditional densities for our work. However, in this definition, since the terms, like these two terms that we have here, do not commute, also there are other issues regarding this definition that the authors explain it very well in their work. But anyway, we decided to select this definition for our work regarding the quantum conditional densities. Let me talk about a little bit about the literature regarding this. Is there any other work in the literature of quantum computing or quantum information that address the problem of quantum common causes? One work is by Wolf et al. In 2020. Another one is Allen et al. In 2017. And I just listed a few of them. Some works also by Chavez et al. For example, 2014 UAI paper and 2015. And in this work, Chavez et al. Used the generalization of the Bell's inequalities to show that in some cases it's possible to distinguish common causes from the direct causes. But in our work, we generalized the idea that Morat had for the classical causal inference, how to use the quantum common entropy to distinguish the latent graphs from the other cases that X directly or indirectly causes Y. So let's redefine the our classical problem in the language of the quantum common entropy. The same idea, but here, instead of the given probability distribution, the joint density matrix is given of X and Y, and we are looking for a Z with minimum one minimum entropy that makes X and Y conditionally independent. The idea is to distinguish the latent graph from the other graphs at the right side with the same assumption, but in the quantum version. That, again, we assume that the von Neumann entropy is small in most cases here. And we'll talk about what would be this threshold in practice and what would be the differences between classical and quantum versions. So as we saw in the classical version, computing the common entropy is not easy. Also is the same for computing the quantum common entropy. So instead of applying this hard condition that Z has a small minimum entropy and make X and Y conditionally independent, we use a trade-off between the von Neumann entropy of the latent common cause and the quantum conditional mutual information of the observed variables given the unmeasured common cause or confounder. So, our last function is the I sub Q X and Y given Z, which is the quantum conditional mutual information of X and Y given Z, plus beta von Neumann entropy of the Z. And if the I sub Q X Y given Z is zero, means that Z makes X and Y conditionally independent. And based on our assumption, we expect that the von Neumann entropy of Z is not large. So how to compute this quantum entropy using this last function? First of all, we need to manipulate this last function a little bit to rather than searching over the space for the joint density matrix of X, Y, and Z, searching over the conditional density of Z given X and Y. What's the reason and how we can do it? I'll explain it in this slide. By the definition of the quantum conditional mutual information, we can replace the definition of IQ, I sub Q, X, Y given Z with these blue terms. And then by regrouping them, we have this new equation. And instead of von Neumann entropy of X and Z, we replace with von Neumann entropy of X plus von Neumann entropy of Z given X. We do the same for the Y and Z and X, Y, and Z. So by, again, by regrouping and rewriting, we get this equation. So this is our new loss function based on the von Neumann entropy of the conditional densities and also the quantum mutual information of X and Y. However, all of these terms, except the last one that doesn't have Z, can be written based on the conditional density matrix Z given X and Y. For example, as you can see, the rho of Z given X can be written as an expression based on the rho of Z given X and Y. We can do the same for others. So if we do that, we are ready to design an iterative algorithm similar to the classical version that has two main phases. In the phase one, we calculate the conditional density matrices, rho of Z given X and rho of Z given Y, and also rho of Z, and iteratively we update them. And in the update phase, we get the update for the joint for the conditional density matrix Z given X and Y. At the end, after n iteration, we return the result as a joint density matrix for X, Y, Z that we can extract the density of density matrix of Z by marginalizing out X and Y. However, as Murad mentioned in the classical version, there is no guarantee this is a heuristic approach to find the stationary form of our loss function. So in order to design the algorithm to decide in what situation after returning the density matrix Z from the search algorithm, how we can decide that this Z is a hidden common cause or it's not a latent graph by having that Z. And again, if you remember, the assumption is for subsystem X and Y, quantum subsystem X and Y, if there is a Z that the von Neumann entropy of this Z is enough small, we assume that we have a latent graph or latent common cause. And this algorithm is pretty straightforward, that the quantum version of inferred graph is works in this way, that calls the quantum latent search n times and return a W. That we sure that for that W, the quantum conditional mutual information X and Y given W is smaller than the threshold. And in our settings, we assume that this t is very small, like 0.05, 0.01, or 0.001, or 0.005. That means it's enough close to zero that makes x and y conditionally independent. And also, we consider those w's that not only satisfy this conditional independent test, but also the von Neumann is enough small, and by means enough small is less than the alpha times the minimum of entropy of von Neumann entropy of x and von Neumann entropy of y. And this alpha is a hyperparameter, which is a number between 0 and 1. And we'll see that the difference between the classical and the quantum version, how this hyperparameter affects on the results. So if the two conditions satisfy, the algorithm declares that W is the latent confounder. And most likely, this is the Z that we were looking for. And is there not only is the optimal point of the our last function, but also if satisfies these two conditions, this W is our latent confounder. So we tested this quantum version of the inferred graph algorithm on synthetic and real data set. In the synthetic scenario, we use the noisy channels for a classical and quantum. Here I'll explain the simplest cases, but you can see the and read the quantum depolarization channel in the paper. The scenario is very simple. We have a 2-bit input Z, and each bit of Z is at state 1 with probability Q and 1 minus Q other ones. And we transmit this Z over a binary symmetric channel, as you can see in the figure, with independent bit probability of P1. And the output, we call it X. We do the same, a cloned version of Z for to produce the Y with the probability error here P2. So in that case, the joint probability distribution of X and Y, X, Y, Z, based on the chain rule, can be written as this equation, P of Z times P of X given Z times P of Y given Z. So we can simply marginalize out Z to obtain the joint probability distribution for the latent graph X and Y. So we marginalize out Z, there is a common cause Z that affects both X and Y, but right now is hidden. This is the result for the case that for both classical and quantum version of the algorithm. The only difference is in the classical, as Murat suggested in his paper, they chose the alpha equals to 0.8, and in some cases, I believe 0.7. But here, we realize that the best hyperparameter for the quantum version is 0.2. And with the same results, that no differences, only difference is the hyperparameter alpha. But then we change alpha in the classical, the results will be changed dramatically. But in the quantum version, when we change the alpha, for example, we get the same table for alpha equals to 0.3, 0.4, and you can check the more tables in the paper that shows less sensitivity to the hyperparameter alpha in the quantum case. And another interesting point is in almost all of the cases that I checked with the synthetic data, also with the real data, the given the returned entropy for the candidate Z in the quantum case is way lower than or smaller than the classical. So as you can, for this case, the error probability is 0.2, P1 and P2. For the classical, the Z that returned by iterative algorithm has entropy of 1.36. And in the quantum version, it is 0.47, which is very smaller than the classical one. So some highlights regarding the results with this model is, as you saw in the table, when the P1 and P2 are very small, both algorithms struggle to distinguish the latent graph from the direct causes. As I mentioned, the quantum version is less sensitive to hyperparameter alpha. And based on our experiments, constantly returns a better local optimum in the quantum case. Is lower entropy. Also, we tested on the real database with cause and effect pairs. There is a famous database for this case, which is called Tübingen or Tübingen dataset. It's available online. You can search and find the repository for this dataset. It's over 100 pairs data for cause and effect pairs available in this repository. And in all cases, X is cause of Y or Y is cause of X. In none of them, there is a latent confounder that explains the correlation between X and Y purely. It's cause and effect pairs. For example, the first pair in the Tübingen data set is the cause and effect relation and shows the data, scatter data for the altitude and temperature. And as you may guess, altitude is the cause of the temperature. When we increase the altitude, we expect that the temperature goes down. And we use this data set and we got these results that, which is very interesting and promising, that even using the quantum algorithms can be beneficial for the classical scenarios as well. In this case, as you can see, by hyperparameter alpha 0.2 and the threshold for the quantum conditional mutual information 0.005, the algorithm successfully returns 83% true positive in comparison with the classical one that I chose both 0.8 and 0.7. At the best case is close to the 50%. That may be explained by the even in the classical settings, maybe there are some quantum information that using the quantum algorithm can capture that information between X and Y that cannot be captured in the classical one, classical settings and classical algorithm. So Another point that I wanted to mention, but it seems obvious, is when we try to use the map the quantum problem to classical directly, since we lose the quantum information, like loss of entanglement, we cannot get the reliable results. And if we naively convert the, and a naive idea would be, okay, let's convert the density matrices to the probability distributions by just using some rotations, or just use the diagonals to convert to the classical probability. So in that case, as you can see in all settings, algorithm fails to recover the true results. As a future work, as I mentioned, I started 2 years ago this journey, which is very exciting and it's new to me. So I consider myself as a beginner in quantum information and quantum computing. Still, I'm learning every day, and I started learning how to use the quantum simulators. So another extension of this board would be how quantum version of the algorithm can perform on the quantum simulators. Another issue that we face is scalability of the quantum version. The classical algorithm is fairly fast, but when the support sizes of X and Y in quantum system grow and become large, the algorithm is very slow. To summarize my talk, we have a problem in the quantum settings that when we have a subsystem, a quantum subsystems X and Y, is there a way to use the quantum common entropy to distinguish that there is a latent graph or there is some kind of direct or indirect cause and effect between those subsystems? To address this problem, we came up with an iterative algorithm to find the optimal Z that satisfies the conditions based on our assumption that quantum entropy of the hidden common cause is small in most cases, and we tested our algorithm on noisy channels in synthetic data and also in the real data. And seems that it's a promising direction, but there are a lot of theoretical challenges and we have a lot of open problems here that needs to be addressed and formalized and proved as future work. Thank you very much.
Questions from online? Questions from the room? I would say let's try to keep it brief because I'm not sure how much longer this snacks will left out for us. If someone has a question?
I have a slightly amusing comment about that benchmark for that data set, which is that there was a Twitter thread about it. Somebody fed it to ChatGPT and it got 95% plus 90% accuracy by completely ignoring the data and looking at the variable names. Just variable names. So I actually think, I mean, it's sort of funny, but also there's a lesson there about the fact that, you know, it read a lot of text, so it has a lot of background information. I think the lesson to me is that if you do model selection, there is a lot of background information to use, basically, that these large language models can help with, basically. 90% plus is pretty good.
I have a question. If you can hear me, the question is, in Murat's talk before yours, he talked about the specific case of the Rényi entropy that just picks out the support. So there's an analogous thing in the quantum case would be, which would be the dimensionality of the latent. Did you think at all about whether you could prove stronger results if you focused on that entropy for the latent, just the one that picks out the dimensionality?
I just focused on the von Neumann entropy. That would be interesting things to think about it. Since in the classical version it's very sensitive to the noise that Rényi zero, so I didn't work on it.
But okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.